And our guest in this portion of the program is Tonya Schutmaker, and she is the senator from this district now, right?
Going well, to be this... I still have to run for election, yeah. But I will be running
pretty
for re-election
conclusion,
in the 26th district.
You'll make it all right, don't you think?
I hope so.
Well, you've got a pretty good record, I think. So.
I think I do, too.
You and Rick have been working on this medical facility in Muskegon, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We have a set of bills. Rick Jones and I have been working on dealing with allegations that were brought against the head of the State Board of Medicine. It was against a doctor in a Muskegon clinic. And he had been reported by several emergency room people, doctors, other doctors. So it's pretty bad when another doctor reports another doctor.
Yeah.
And the State Board of Medicine, really the chairman of the board, who the doctor had done his residency under, kind of swept the charges under the carpet, and it never really went to a vote for the full committee. And I think that's wrong. The doctor had performed several abortions, and so regardless of whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, he had done them in such a way as to perforate women's uterus in an unsafe way, and he should have lost his license by any reasonable standard. But the State Board of Medicine never heard those charges because of a conflict of interest. The chairman decided single-handedly not to review them, and I feel that's wrong, and that we needed conflict of interest rules codified into state law to say that when somebody knows somebody that he should recuse himself from participating
right.
in any decision against another doctor. They have a personal relationship, and furthermore, charges such as these should go in front of three eyes of the State Board of Medicine to authorize or not authorize whether the doctor deserves to be lose his license or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Senator Jones's bill automatically revokes a health professional's license if they are found guilty of criminal sexual conduct against a patient while acting in their capacity as health professional.
Mm-hmm.
When we took a look at this, we found numerous cases where doctors had sexually molested, numerous, like we're talking tens, if not 20s and 30s of their patients. And then, after about 2 years, they were practicing medicine again.
Yeah.
The public needs to be protected, and so these people need to lose their licenses.
Okay, I believe we have a call coming in here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. I didn't quite catch at the beginning of the program whether this individual that's on right now is actually in office now.
Yes, she is.
Okay. And what party is she with?
I'm a Republican.
Okay, great. I got a question for you. Along with the other things you're speaking about, which are certainly important, I'm wondering what Mr. Snyder and the rest of the legislature is doing with the matter of Detroit and the fact that they defaulted and everything, primarily probably due to just overspending, everything like that, and what measures the legislature can put in place to ensure that other communities around the state of Michigan do not get themselves into the same dire straits that Detroit got themselves into over a good number of years and require some sort of bailout either from the state or from the federal government. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, well, that is an excellent question. Thank you so much for asking it. What the legislature did was, first of all, it's done several things, and the governor has signed into law. First of all, with regard to the emergency manager law, what we did is so that, a year or two before the city or municipality or school district has to file for bankruptcy, we updated the emergency manager law. So now there's a watch list, which kind of raises red flags to the community that says, hey, you guys need to live within your means. You're out of whack in terms of your budget because the state of Michigan does not want to have to be bailing these municipalities and communities out. We also gave them more the emergency manager law. If it does go to that, more teeth into the law, which they never had before. The emergency manager law was passed into law actually by Governor Blanchard, but The emergency manager would go in, and when 80% of your budget is dealing with contracts and you can't really do anything about those contracts, how can you really turn a city, a municipality, or a school district around? And so what we did is we gave them more teeth so that they can break contracts and renegotiate those contracts and live within their means. So that's one of the things that we've done. With regards to Detroit, Detroit is in bankruptcy. You saw the emergency manager law that said that this problem, you know, for years they had overspent and overpromised way beyond what they could afford, especially in light of the fact that their population was going down. And so now you've seen that go into bankruptcy. And so I think the emergency manager law, Kevin Orr, was smart to do that. Now you have a big fight of whether or not to take the art, which there's different kinds of art over there. There's some art that was purchased using city general funds back in the 30s and 40s that is appreciated in value. There's other art that has been donated by families out there. And so I personally feel it should be solved and litigated in bankruptcy. But Governor Snyder has put forth a proposal to help out the pensioners to save the art and to securitize the tobacco settlement and go in half with the foundations over there to get the pensioners out of the bankruptcy process.
Okay.
I'm still listening to see whether that's a good idea or not.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Ma'am, could you speak a little bit about your fellow colleague, I believe, Justin Amash, in the ad that has been playing on TV about the issue about gender selection? I will hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Sure. I've seen the ad, so I'm curious to know what you want to comment. Justin Amash is a federal congressman. I am on the state level in terms of a state senator. I can tell you, though, that I am pro-life, so I would vote on, you know, any bill that is pro-life, that I believe that life starts at conception.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the ad, you know, I think I'll let the voters decide whether or not. I'm not really that particular, since it is a federal bill, with what that is saying.
Okay. Good morning, Good morning, you're online with our guest. I guess there's nobody there. Okay.
We have a lot of questions coming in this
morning.
Yes, we do. It's great.
All right, we do. And so what's been going on in the Senate as far as you are concerned?
Well, there's several things. We're working on getting next year's budget crafted. Our budget year starts October 1 of every year. For the last 3 years, Governor Snyder and this legislature have gotten the budgets done by the end of June, if not before, usually June 1. And I think that's important because our school districts and our local municipalities need to know what they're going to get. So the good news is we've created over 200,000 jobs in the private sector in the last 3 years, and so that is resulting in higher increase in terms of revenues, so which is a much better place to talk about than when we were 3 years ago, where we were fighting on who to cut and what to cut. So,
okay, got to cut another call.
Okay.
Here. Good morning. You're on the line with our guest.
Yeah, I just wanted to, the school situation in Detroit was about as bad as what Detroit was. Was that ever resolved? I know they cut it in half and went right back. What's the status of that? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
I was going to ask him if he could, the school system in Detroit, Detroit Public Schools, I'm going to just kind of guess what he meant, but if you want to call back and explain, Detroit Public Schools actually had an emergency manager as well. I think they've somewhat turned things around, over there, and are kind of living within their means, but, you know, I think that there's the problems over in Detroit are vast, and I think it all starts with, promoting, it kind of was caused by a breakdown of the family unit in terms of that you had a lot of teenage pregnancies. You had a lot of people that were not raising children, and so hence they turned to life of crime. You know, Detroit was one of the top three cities in the U.S. for violent crime rates. Actually, I mean top 10 in violent crime rates. So what we've done is really tried to address the options to get kids educated over there, because education rates were dismal in terms of graduation rates. And so we've really tried to focus in terms of giving parents options over there in terms of educating their children. We have invested money in terms of the basic protection, such as Detroit lighting, making sure their streetlights are working, also in terms of providing after-school programs and summer school programs. We've invested a lot in terms of making sure that the kids are kind of focused in terms of their energy in positive areas rather than, you know, taking the criminal path.
Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yeah, hi. I was calling to see if I could speak with one of your morning hosts, specifically maybe Dan Spatafora.
Oh, you would call our office number, please, at 392-3121.
I'm sorry, could you give me that one more time?
392-3121.
3121?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're here with Tonya Shootmaker, and if you have a question for her, you may call us at 395-1450 on Talk of the Town. All right. What else is going on?
Well, we just passed a supplemental last week that was signed into law, and, you know, it's been a long, hard winter, and I'm sure your listeners are all noticing the giant potholes in the road.
Yeah.
The fact that our road commissions have done wonderful jobs, a yeoman's work in terms of clearing all the abundant snow that, you know, I haven't seen this much snow since I was a kid. And in terms of the extra overtime and salt, and so we appropriated an extra $215 million to roads. $100 million of it was spent for specifically for repairing roads after the brutal winter, and will be divided pursuant to the formula. So a lot of our local road commissions that will bring welcome relief. However, there's still no agreement in terms of deciding how to fix a long-term solution with our roads. So that still remains out there, but we're making a start at it with the extra $215 million that was appropriated.
And another call. Good morning. You're online with our senator.
Good morning. I have two things that I'd like to have the senator comment on.
Yes.
Number one would be the voucher system for education. I would love to see that get started in Michigan. The sooner the better. And number two is the gasoline tax that we pay right now. Part of that's going to other sources, especially like bike paths. And I don't think we need to put any more money in bike paths. Let's fix our roads before we put more money into bike paths. So if she would comment on that, I would appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. While the debate of vouchers has to go to a vote of the people, and you you specifically saw, I think, several years back, it was voted down. But what we've done, you know, in spite of that, is really give parents choices with expanding the charter cap, and also, you know, and I will say that I toured a public school in my community, and they had started a STEM academy. And so some positive outcome of giving people choices, whether it's a school of choice, you know, that you can cross district boundaries where you used to couldn't, is really it's made them competitive. And so this superintendent shared with me that he was in favor of the competition because it kind of made them raise their game in terms of delivering high-quality education for our kids. And I think that's what everyone wants to see is high-quality education for our kids. In terms of, what was the second question?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Goodness, I apologize for that, but I should have a pencil and write my thoughts down.
Good morning, you're online. Good morning, you're online with our guest. Hello? Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to speak about the issue about this judge overruling. calling the public vote of the state of Michigan. I'd like to have her comment about the legislature getting on the bandwagon and encourage all the residents of Michigan to have a federal a referendum on with our constitution to stop the judges overruling the public vote, just like you discussed earlier this morning, Jute. You can explain that better than I can.
All right. I said we should have an amendment to the Constitution that a public vote would overrule any government official.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this actually, back in 2004, there was a vote of defining marriage as between one man and one woman. And the voters overwhelmingly actually enshrined that in Michigan's Constitution.
Yes.
So Michigan has gone as far as I think it can in terms of both legislative action and also a vote of the people in terms of defining marriages between one man and one woman. So unlike other states, which have just been legislative action, Michigan actually does define it actually in its constitution. What your caller is referring about is that on Friday, a U.S. District Court judge ruled that it violated the Equal Protection Clause, this constitutional amendment, in our Constitution. And since then, there's been a stay upon that judge's ruling. Ultimately, what I see happening is the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have to rule upon this, and it's going to be kind of some interesting legal arguments because it is already enshrined in our Constitution. And so you have the right, the vote of the people, and enshrining in a Constitution versus on the other side you have an equal protection argument.
Right. How do you think, you're an attorney, how do you think it'll go in the Supreme Court?
You know, I don't know. I know that, you know, my belief has always been that marriage is you know, a biblical belief, and I feel very strongly about that. But that being said, you know, there are probably some legal arguments in terms of on the other side when it comes to equal protection. So, you know, but in terms of my own beliefs, I've got them, and they're set in biblical terms.
Right.
That exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
We're here with Tonya Schutmaker, and we have another call, I do believe. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Good morning.
Yes, you're online with the senator.
Good morning. I may have missed the introduction, but this senator, how long has she been in Michigan? Is she taken over a new district, a partial district?
That's a redistricting.
Taking over Joan's place?
I'm happy to answer that. First of all, my name's Tonya Schutmaker, and I'm a lifelong resident of Southwest Michigan. I actually was born over in Inkster, but moved here when my parents were about one or two. So I have no recollection of that, but have been a lifelong resident of Southwest Michigan. I have served 6 years in the House of Representatives, representing Van Buren and part of Allegan County. I ran for the Senate 4 years ago, representing Kalamazoo and part of Van Buren County. Now my district is changing in this upcoming redistricting, so I'll be running for the 26th Senate seat, which will include all of Allegan County, which is half the city of Holland, 32nd Street and below. And all of Van Buren County, City of Kentwood, and Gaines Township. So it's Senator Jones is got kind of shuffled over to the east side, more of his current district, and he loses Allegan County.
Okay.
Very good. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All
right. We have another call, I believe. Let's take that call. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, you know, remember that one gentleman that called in with the two questions?
Yes.
Well, the second question was that he wanted more of the gasoline tax to go to roads and not as much to bike paths.
Thank you.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Well, I don't disagree. We actually in the Senate have a bill that does just that, is really kind of takes most of the gas tax that we don't send to the federal government and redirects it to the roads. So there is already a bill out there that does that. We have passed it in the Senate. I believe it's over in the House. As far as the bike pass, a lot of that was under the stimulus money. I'm just as frustrated with how sometimes you've got your roads falling apart, and not that bike paths aren't important, because they are, but you, in terms of priorities and ranking priorities, you're like scratching your head, why aren't you fixing the roads, but you're doing a Taj Mahal of a bike path. I get that. And but a lot of that was done through the federal ARRA stimulus monies that were federal in nature.
Mm-hmm. I think there's one more thing about you that you didn't mention, that is you grew up on a farm.
I did grow up on a farm. I grew up picking asparagus before and after school. And then we also did corn and soybeans and stuff like that. But I never really drove the combine or anything like that. So, and hay too. So, I did pick asparagus before and after school, and I still like asparagus.
You can still snap off the asparagus, right?
That's right. and that brings me to something else that we had up in Lansing last week, kind of on a fun nature. You know, we do a lot of very serious issues, but I had first of all, Senator Warren had a class 3 years ago that asked that the cherry be the state fruit. I also had some wonderful people over in South Haven that asked that the blueberry be the state fruit. So Senator Richardville said, you know, listen, we have serious matters here, but he did say that since the classes kind of continuously wrote him, he would use this as a civics lesson for those two classes. So we had a class from South Haven and we had a class from Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor chose the cherry as the state fruit. The South Haven people, being in the hotbed of blueberries, decided that the blueberries should be a state fruit, because ironically, while we have a state bird and many other state rocks and everything like that, we don't have a state fruit. So the class came up, and it was really a great lesson in civics in terms of, you know, we can disagree, and that's what's great about America, right? But we can also have a lot of respect for each other.
Indeed. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. It was a pleasure meeting you the other night at that banquet at the Fish and Game Club. You were very impressive, and it was a pleasure to meet you, and it was a fun night.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thank you for serving.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we have another call. Good morning. You're online with our guest. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hello. Say, I've got a question.
Yes.
I'm wondering about the city of Holland just recently passed an ordinance, and the city of Zeeland did too, I think, that you can get fined by the city if you don't remove graffiti within 5 days, I think it is, with Holland, and shorter time with Zeeland. And I'm wondering if we can't get some protections for property owners built into a state law so that these municipalities can't steal our money and steal our rights and our property. It's concerning to me. I've seen too much of that stuff go on. You know, I mean, the graffiti is not the cause of the property owner in the first place. But, you know, here they're going to get fined just because they don't remove it in 5 days or something like that. It seems to me pretty stupid and pretty oppressive.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to comment on that?
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying in terms of the rights of private property owners. I've always been one to advocate and vote in favor of that. But, you know, you also have a balancing in terms of, you know, I think there's a collective good in terms of making the community the wonderful community it is, in terms of having, you know, not having it degrade down to, you know, a Times Square, too. So it's always a balancing act, and that's why I believe in local control.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that obviously the people who should clean up the graffiti are the people who put it there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And
right.
that's where, you know, we depend upon our law enforcement really to crack down and really kind of hammer down on these crimes.
One more thing I was going to bring up that you did vote earlier on the balanced budget amendment that went to the federal government. What do you think of the chances of that?
Well, it passed the Senate, and then it even had more debate, which I was shocked, because I think when our country has a $17 trillion deficit, we are getting very close to, if we've not already surpassed Greece. I've heard several times that we have surpassed Greece in terms of our GDP to debt. And, you know, that really concerns me because we're passing on an enormous burden to our children and our grandchildren. And so I think we have to get our federal spending under control. At the state level, we've done a great job in terms of kind of reining in state spending and not spending beyond our means. I can't say that we've done the same at the federal level. And so that's why.
And we're out of time for today.